Luke chapter 12. The lesson today is Jesus, God's messenger with God's message from heaven. I want to read two passages. First in Luke 12. It was read to us last week. I gave it rather short shrift. And so we will look at the rest of Luke 12. And then I want to read you a passage that is pertinent from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. I came to cast fire upon the earth. And what do I desire if it is already kindled? What this literally says is, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and what will I if already it was kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Think ye that I am come to give peace in the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For there shall be from henceforth five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. They shall be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And now 1 Corinthians 15, and I will read it as it's found in the King James, which has sufficient manuscript authority. And in chapter 15, verse 45, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that there are those among us who believe that we have a message from heaven and that your Son spoke it with all of those whom he sent to preach the Word of God. And we are thankful that we believe that it has been recorded, preserved for us forever. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word, Father, shall never pass away. We are thankful for the physical way that you preserved it, and we are thankful for those who have laid up this word of God in their hearts. We remember that when your Son was challenged from that which was laid up in his heart, he was able to say, it is written. And we are thankful, our Father, that the truth that was written, that was sufficient for him to engage even Satan in combat, our Father, that it might be sufficient for us also to overcome the enemies, the trials that we encounter in life. And so, our Father, that your Spirit would illumine us and would prepare hearts, and that a blessing would be poured out upon this meeting today. You know the need. Father, our nation, all things that are happening and all things that soon are to be influenced by the way that men and women think. And so, our God, as you have said, I raise up the basis of men. You raise up and you put down. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord in eternity, whithersoever he will. And so, our God, we pray that you shall do just that. Raise up whom you will, and then turn the heart of this leader the way that you will. And so, our Father, for this hour that lies before us, we look to thee for good. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The title for the subject today, Jesus, God's Messenger with God's Message from Heaven, is taken from Haggai chapter 1. Haggai is designated as God's Messenger with God's Message. You say, well, would not all God's messengers give God's message? By no means. There are some who are in a position to speak for God, but they have no intention of speaking God's message. I remember the high priest, when the king came back from a foreign country and brought this idolatrous altar and said, this place, God's altar, and this is the altar that is to be in prominence. And the high priest did just what he said. And the scripture says that in the last days, that men shall have itching ears, and they shall heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. And so do not think because a man stands before you as God's messenger that he is always going to give you God's message. Be like unto the Bereans. When the apostle Paul spoke to them, it says they were noble, and they went home and searched the scriptures daily whether these things are so. But I can give you this assurance that the Lord Jesus is God's messenger, and he brings us God's message from heaven. And that is of the greatest importance. We had read in John chapter 1 about the incarnation. That is critical in accepting what Christ said to be true, because if our Savior was some illegitimate one who came not conceived of the Holy Spirit, but came of fornication, then he is a liar from the beginning. And when he speaks about being with the Father from all eternity, that is a lie as well. But we accept the Lord Jesus as God's messenger that God sent with his message from heaven. And this portion that has confused so many, because I've read so many commentators and what they say about it, they come upon it and they say, now, we are not certain what it means when it says fire from heaven, and we are not certain what it means when it speaks of the sword. What you will discover is this, that whether figuratively fire or a sword are used, or whether literal words are used, this portion is talking about God's message that his Son brought and delivered to us from heaven. It makes no difference if I tell you about a sword. I came to cast a sword upon the earth. If I use the word sword or if I use the word fire, they are both emblems of the Word of God. Because Jeremiah tells us himself, God said to him, I will make my word fire in thy mouth, and the people would. And God tells us in Jeremiah, my word is like a fire, it's like a hammer. And so it's evident that in this instance, the fire is the Word of God. You say, well, what about the sword? I think I remember in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the Word of God is like fire. The Word of God is like a sword. But whether I use the word fire or sword, or division, fervency, separation, whatever words I use, it is simply this. It is the Word of God and the nature of that Word explained in the preaching of the Word of God. Again, the nature of the message contained in the preaching of the Word of God and the outcome of its predictions. That's what these passages mean. In Matthew 10 and in Luke chapter 12, if it's talking about sending fire upon the earth or sending a sword upon the earth, it is simply this. It is God sending a message from heaven, and the nature of that message is determined by the figure of speech that is used. If he sends fire upon the earth, and God says, "My words in your mouth, Jeremiah, will be fire, and I will make the people wood," then this fire is to come and consume. And when you read about the wicked being cast into the eternal fire, here is the outcome of the fire that stirred the hearts of men, but they would not respond to God's word burning in their hearts. The sword, I remember that when Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, his face as the face of an angel, preached the word of God fearlessly to them, it says they were cut to the heart, and God's word came, and it attacked them, and it wounded them, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. And so what happens is this. The word of God can cut the heart of man. And as it says in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching, their hearts were pricked. And they said, "What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins." But when their heart was cut in Acts chapter 7, they picked up stones and slew this messenger of God that was speaking the truths from heaven. But in both instances, it is the message that is delivered. The message and not the eventualities that are going to occur by what men do with the message that is delivered unto them. That is why I told you that the Lord Jesus, whenever he had the Word of God quoted to him, he was aware of all that the Word of God said. And when Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, lest thou dash thy foot upon a stone." And the Lord Jesus said, "Again, it is written." And so, when the Lord Jesus says, "I came not to send peace, but a sword," I'm going to ask this question. Is that the only message that Jesus brought from heaven? Did he bring only a message of fire and a message of the sword? Why, of course not. The Lord Jesus at times brought not fire and the sword, but he brought the balm of Gilead. The Lord Jesus was that physician who spoke words of healing to the wounded hearts of men. But what happens is this, just as when men were asked, "Who am I?" And they said, "Why, the Messiah is the son of David." He said, "But there is another scripture as well. And that scripture says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calls him Lord. How then is he his son?" And so the Lord Jesus is both the son of David, and he is also the son of God. He is the root of David, and he is the offspring of David. And he is not one, but he is both. And the Lord Jesus came not only to send fire and a sword, but he came also to bring peace to man. And for that reason, You find it beautifully expressed in both Zechariah and Isaiah. Words not of fire and of the sword, but words that are the balm of Gilead. Do you remember? Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and say unto them, thy warfare is accomplished and thine iniquities are forgiven. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. That is not a sword. That is not a fire. But words of peace, words of consolation. And also, it says that in the book of Zechariah, they were listening, and as he listened, he heard the angel speak good words and comforting words and words of hope. And so what this portion contains is this. Christ's coming, and when he speaks, his word is like a fire and his word is like a sword. But the result of the fire and sword are determined by the effect it has in the hearts that it burns and it wounds. When God's word reaches you, and how difficult it is, it says at times they put their fingers in their ears. They covered their ears. Why? Because they do not want the word of God to reach them. But it did reach them. And the effect was this. Murder. Hatred. And that was manifested in their actions, in their behavior. And what is so sad is this. That the Lord Jesus speaks in this way. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I fenced in, surrounded, straitened, constrained? How am I straitened until it be accomplished? And the Lord Jesus is speaking of something that is true at that time. But when that baptism occurs, then he is not going to be straitened anymore. He is free to act in a way that he was not free to act in at that time. And what he desires us to know is that when the word of God comes to us, the effect it has upon us now is not the eternal effect that it shall have upon us. Because now we are still of the earth, earthy. We are flesh and blood, and we shall die, and we shall return to corruption if the Lord does not come. But finally, when the Lord does come, then the ultimate that is contained in the preaching of the Word of God shall come to pass. Listen to these good words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there are those to whom the word of God comes, and they are not going to believe, and they're going to perish. And there are those to whom the word of God comes, and they do believe, and they shall never perish. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so the message that Christ gives has an immediate effect, but it also has eternal consequences. And when he says, I did not come to give peace, but I came to give a sword, I came to send fire, that is part of the message. And when God comes from heaven, what he is going to do is to look upon those individuals on earth, and they have written upon them the effect of what they did with the message that he brought from heaven. And some of them are looked upon as sheep, and some are looked upon as goats, and some are looked upon as good and wise and faithful servants, and some are looked upon as those that deny their master, their servants in word but not in deed, and the outcome then shall be determined. And so, when anything speaks about God acting from heaven, He never acts immediately. He does not come down and say, "You are saved, and you are saved, and you are saved." But what happens is that the Word of God is preached, and if a man believes, then the Lord Jesus says, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." Listen to what He says. That includes both balm and the sword. When He sent His disciples to preach the Word of God, He said, "When you enter into a city, go to a house and say to that house, 'Peace be unto this house.' And if a son of peace be there, then your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, then your peace shall return unto you. And as you go out of that city, shake the dust off your feet and say to them, 'Even the dust of your city that clings to our feet, we shake off against you.'" And the Lord Jesus said, "In the future, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom than for that city." But please notice again, it was not that the messenger came and said, "You are saved, and you are saved, and you are condemned." But He came and He preached peace. And if the peace message was accepted, then the peace of God remained upon that home. But if the message of peace was rejected, then the curse of God was upon them. Then they were rejected by God, and ultimately and eternally they would be rejected by God. And that is why when the Savior brings this message from heaven, He said, it is not something of frivolity. It is not something that is of so little importance that you may take it or leave it, because what you do with the message determines your eternal destiny. If it is received, then you have life. If it is rejected, then there is death, eternal death. And that is why I tell you that all of these passages that confuse people about, "I came to send fire and I came to send a sword," all of it is God reaching man with a message. And at times that message is expressed figuratively as a sword or as fire. And at times it is expressed literally, "I came to give peace." That is literal. "I came to give harmony, unity, oneness." And that is how the word peace is translated. On one occasion, it says in Acts chapter 7 that in the Old Testament, Moses saw two Israelites contending with one another, and he tried to set them at one, and that is the word peace, because division and adversity and disruption of harmony. That is one picture, but at the same time, there is the other picture. And peace is making one, two that are at enmity with one another. And so, whenever you read all of the things that Christ says, understand this, that without first giving you a message, nothing is done. There is no man who has not been dealt with inwardly by the Spirit of God, who has not heard the truth of God, that God condemns before He hears or lets him know under whatever conditions something of truth, a measure of light. God never simply condemns, but what God does is to bring a message, and the reaction of men to that message determines whether God blesses or whether God condemns. And the Lord Jesus told us that in Luke chapter 10. Now, this is what He says. He said, "I have come to cause division. I am come to send in households disunity, disruptions." And He said, "I'm going to do it with the most intimate relationships. What is more intimate than a father and his son? A mother and her daughter. And then to bring someone from the outside, a daughter-in-law with her mother-in-law. And the Lord Jesus said, I've come to divide this family. I'm not bringing unity to it. I come to bring diversity to it. You say, how can this be? Why would Jesus do such a thing and say such a thing? Because God's salvation is offered to all, but those who will not have that salvation, the Lord Jesus said, then you will be at enmity with your father, and the father will be at enmity with his son. The mother with the daughter with the mother. You see, it's not one-sided, but it is both-sided. And so the decision that you make is of such severity that the Lord Jesus is prepared to take you away from your father. And he tells you, honor your father and honor your mother. And the Lord Jesus said, I've come to take you away from your father. And you women, I've come to take you away from your mother. And you who are in-laws, I've come to separate you. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says, the truth of God is that which is of the greatest importance. And how important is it? Not only is he willing to divide families because he knows the eternal consequences involved with those that reject his message, but he says this. He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. Why? He said, because it's better to enter life maimed with not a complete body than to be cast into hell fire. And so that is the seriousness and that is the sincerity that Christ gives in his message. And for that reason, he says, leave your father. But it will upset my father. It will ruin his life. It will break his heart. The Lord Jesus said, leave your father. But my mother, leave your mother. But my in-laws, leave your in-laws. Why? The Lord Jesus said, anybody that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And this is what I see the people of God today that supposedly love the Lord Jesus. But instead of bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they bring them up as worldlings. It has broken my heart when I've seen it in one family. The child is brought to Sunday school, and then the child is sent out into the world. The child is trying to be made into one that will be a worldling, subjected to all the temptations of life and all the sins associated with worldliness. And that is what the mother is trying to make the daughter. And so the Lord Jesus would go and say, leave your mother. Trust Christ. Forsake this career that she's trying to build for you. And the Lord Jesus tells us that these are the things that are of the greatest importance. And it makes no difference how severe the loss, whether it's a physical loss or whether it is the brokenness of heart because the ones that you love most are separated. The Lord Jesus says, make that separation. Let me give you an example. The Lord Jesus always speaks the truth. And he was invited home by Martha and Mary. And after, I take it that Mary had helped Martha for a little while to serve, she left all of these mundane duties and went and sat at the feet of Jesus and was listening to his word. And Martha came to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. And the Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. He said, Mary hath chosen the good part, and it is not going to be taken away from her. You see, the Lord Jesus looks at one who is right and one who is wrong, and he always takes the side of the right. Like this. on an occasion, a stranger comes up to him and says, Lord, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. And the Lord Jesus said, man, who made me a divider or a judge over you? And he said, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You see, the Lord Jesus knew covetousness. He knew what that man was asking, and he refused to have any part in it. And if there was one who was right, he would say, you are right. And if there were one who was wrong, he would say, you are wrong. And that is why Christ was hated and rejected, because the greatest compliment that was ever given him was this, by his enemies. They came to him in hypocrisy. But this is what they said. They said, teacher, we know that you are true, that you speak the word of God in truth, that you care not for any man, that you regard not the person of man. Now, we want to ask you a question. All of those things were lies. They did not believe anything that they said about him. But it was the greatest compliment that Christ was given by his enemies because it was true. We know you are true, and you speak the word of God truthfully, and you regard not the person of man. And so if someone came to Christ with a problem and asked him a question, the answer, if he deigned to give an answer, would be absolutely right. Martha, you are wrong. Mary is right. I'm thinking of something I was reading once in Jewish literature about this rabbi that had been in a congregation for over 50 years. And it was so difficult for a man who represented the people and told the truth to get along with them. They wondered how he could be accepted and how he had remained for 50 years. And so this is what happened. A man and his wife were at enmity with one another, and they both came to the rabbi. And the husband went in first and told the rabbi his side of the story. And the rabbi listened, and he said to the man, you are right. And so he went out, and the woman came in, and she told him her side of the story. And he said, you are right. And a man was listening to the conversation, and he said, wait a minute. You said he was right and she was right. They both can't be right. And he said, you are right. And he walked away and left them. You see, he never disagreed. He never told anybody they were wrong. But the Lord Jesus always told you when you were wrong. If you have an argument with your wife, the Lord Jesus will say, you are right or the wife is right. Mary is right or Martha is right. When they come to me and ask, I say to the husband, you are wrong. And then the wife comes and I say, you are wrong. And somebody says, well, they can't both be wrong. And I say, you are wrong. And so that's why I come a week or two and then I pass on, because I do not have that ability to ingratiate myself by telling people the lies. May I tell you one of the greatest compliments that was ever given me? There was a dear friend, Robbie Pyle, who ran this big bakery in Cleveland, Ohio. And I think it was their 50th anniversary. And he said, we are inviting all the celebrities to come. He said, all the important people will be here. And he said, and we are looking for someone to give a religious message. He said, but John Mills, we are not going to ask you, because you will tell them the truth. That's the greatest compliment I've ever been given, that I would tell them the truth, and therefore I would not be invited to speak to them. And I found out whom they eventually got. It was an old friend of mine, a former congressman, Earthman from Tennessee. And this politician came, and he could tell them anything he wanted to and never offend them. That was a remarkable thing. But you see, Christ said, I came to send fire, to send a sword upon the earth. And that is what Christ has come from heaven to do, to deliver the truth of God. Now, think of this. Suppose you knew that there was on earth a man who knew the truth of heaven, the truth of right and wrong, the truth of admission to heaven and to hell. And you had an opportunity to speak to that man. Would you go to him and say, I want you to tell me the truth about myself? I would be afraid to, because the Lord Jesus would say, you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God gave the law, and you did not keep the law. If you ask for the truth from Christ, that is what he would tell you. But at the same time, he would also tell you this. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You are the lost, and I love you even though you are lost, and I will save you if you will have me as your Savior. And so the Lord Jesus is God's messenger with God's message sent from heaven, and he always tells the truth. Believe him and embrace him, and you will be an inhabitant of heaven. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad for this one that you sent from heaven. And he told us earthly things and he told us heavenly things. And we remember that he said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? We are glad, our God, that he had things of heaven and of earth to tell us. And all of the things that he said were true. My words are not my own, but my Father's who sent me. We are thankful that we have a message from heaven that tells us how to avoid hell and how to be certain of heaven. And so let us listen to this messenger and his message from heaven, our Father, and let it result in good and blessing and peace to our hearts. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.